for labor. Unions, they insist, are no longer needed. They tell us that in today's entrepreneurial economy, workers must compete with each other, not cooperate. Before swallowing that wad of hornswoggle, let's revisit Flight 1549. As it took off from New York City in 2009, the jet hit a flock of geese, lost all power, and had nowhere to try a crash landing. But Captain Sully Sullenberger knew what to do. Use the Hudson River as a landing strip. Amazingly, it worked. Dubbed the Miracle on the Hudson, the lives of all 150 passengers were saved. But no supernatural powers were at work. Captain Sully himself is not only a member of the Airline Pilots Association, but also served on that union's National Governing Committee and was its former safety chairman. Indeed, he and the APA union have had to fight airline chieftains who keep trying to cut back on the safety training programs that teach crews how to save lives. Nor was Sully alone in this miracle. The cool-headed flight attendants who quickly moved 150 nearly panicked people off the plane were members of the Association of Flight Attendants, another union that trains to avert disasters. The ferry crews that zipped into action, skillfully maneuvering their boats within 4 inches of the plane's wings to rescue passengers, they're in the Seafarers International Union, which gives them the safety courses that enable them to respond as they did. The cops, firefighters, and air traffic controllers also perform marvelously, all union-trained. This is Jim Hightower saying, at a time when corporate interests in all sectors of our economy are trying to eliminate unions, remember Flight 1549, the union-made Miracle on the Hudson.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Say Hey, it is Monday. The time is 5:33. You're listening to Say Hey, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program right here at 90.1 KZFR. Jake, joined as always by Noobs. Noobs, how are you?
I'm doing good. Happy Labor Day, everybody.
Happy Labor Day. It's streets are pretty quiet out there.
It's very quiet.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. I was driving across the college area earlier to do some recording. At my buddy's studio, and saw some kids asleep on the couch, you know, the usual trash in the streets, yada yada.
Right.
You know that the city of Chico and the cops made all the bars with certain age liquor license close at midnight for like 3 consecutive days this weekend.
Oh, I was
unaware. Probably noticed. Yeah, that you had to close at midnight unless your liquor license was of a certain age, which only applied to a couple of places.
Okay, I was at LaSalle's last night, so I'm sure they probably were exempt from that. Maybe.
No, they had to do midnight for whatever reason.
Oh, okay.
And I just thought the whole thing was really hilarious, and you know, in a sardonic way, because so you're trying to take care of the college kids, and you're going to force them out of the bars.
Into
the streets and into their houses to party more. Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with that idea should get an award or something. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of awards to be given out for some of the decisions made in this town.
Just a great idea. let's talk some sports. I'll start off by kind of giving a fond farewell to the Giants' efforts on the season.
Yeah.
It came crashing down in a sweep in L.A. And it was one of those things where, you know, the rotation issues, we talked about it at the start of the year, those were what they were. You knew that was going to be an issue all season, and it has been, other than Bumgarner and some kind of out-of-nowhere magic from Heston.
Right.
You know, they just haven't had it. The injuries, I mean, that's part of sports, right?
It is. I mean, everybody goes through them. The Giants definitely had their fair share.
Yep. They get a rash of them. The offense, you're missing two or three all-stars at all times in the second half. It can't be sustained. And they got swept by the Dodgers. That was effectively it. Mm-hmm. You're not coming back from 7.5 back in September. It just doesn't work that way.
No.
So it was a nice effort from a beat-up team with a second-rate rotation, but I'm actually optimistic for next year. They got a lot of good young offensive talent.
Well, you should. It's 2016. It's an even-numbered year. Yeah. So they're going to win the World Series.
And with the emphasis is 100% going to be on beefing up the rotation.
I'm sure.
I think you'll see Mike Leake signed quickly and then adding a couple of other pieces. I'd like their chances in 2016. But
what
it's
do you think
over.
Is going to happen to Lincecum?
Well, shoot, man. He should not be guaranteed a spot on any major league roster. He's one of those guys now that should be competing in spring training to win a spot because he's not a competitive pitcher. He's having surgery.
Mm-hmm.
It bums me out that he can't have kind of a farewell appearance this year.
Right.
Because I guess it's possible the Giants could bring him back on a minor league deal, but it would have been nice for him to tip his cap to the crowd or something.
Absolutely.
But didn't work out that way with the hip surgery.
I mean, he had a good run. A couple Cy Youngs, World Series.
World Series. I mean, he's a legend no matter what happens.
I mean, technically he won three, but he was a major part of, I'd say.
Yeah, of the first two.
Yeah, for the first two, the second one being out of the bullpen.
Yep.
But still, huge effort.
Yeah, huge effort. Now, the A's season has been over for a bit now. I don't really know what to expect from the A's next year.
I don't either.
I mean, the team they have now, there are not a bunch of like pieces that are about to explode that the next year's their year.
Right.
That's a pretty mixed up roster at the moment with, you trade Josh Donaldson under club control and he's going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Josh Donaldson is your 2015 AL MVP.
I wouldn't argue with that.
That looks really bad, even worse than it did on paper.
Yeah, I mean, people have been questioning Billy Beane's decisions for years, but all those times previous, usually it was like, okay, well, I know I can't sign this guy long term, so I'm going to try and get as many pieces for him as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But with this Josh Donaldson thing, I mean, he was under contract for a few more years, was he not?
He was.
Right.
He was under club control for three more years.
So to me, it's like, you don't empty him until then.
No.
And you see what you can get out, because that guy is something that you build your team around. I mean, look what Toronto's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Toronto's had a better lineup going in this year, even without Josh Donaldson, but you put him in there, and, they look like the 27 Yankees.
I know. They're just scoring like 10 runs a game. Like, it's nothing.
It's ridiculous. Well, I mean, they have like the top six RBI guys.
Uh-huh.
It's Bautista, Encarnacion, and Donaldson.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
And Tulo's only hitting like 250 as a J.
Right.
He's not even hot yet.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And how bad does Reyes feel being in Colorado now?
I mean, that's purgatory.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean,
to go from a contender to bleh. It's part of the business, and it was the right move for the Blue Jays, but I kind of feel for him a little bit.
I feel for guys like Arenado, too, and Carlos Gonzalez, because they're going to have great careers. They're going to hit, 400 home runs in that park, but they're never going to go to a playoffs.
Unless
they just
soon.
Have some magic year where they happen to get a couple good pitchers that just have, great seasons.
Yeah, yeah. Also of note with the A's, unfortunately, is Stephen Vogt took one as a catcher in the groin yesterday and had to go to the hospital. So that's brutal when you see that happen to a catcher, especially in September. You're already beat up after all season,
right.
And you take one in the groin, a foul tip, and you're hospitalized. So I hope Stephen Vogt feels better.
Absolutely,
that everything's okay. We should make mention right now that college football. It's happening.
Yeah, it's kicked off.
It's kicked off.
We got the number one Ohio State facing off against Virginia Tech right now.
Yeah.
As we speak.
And Ohio State is going to be interesting to watch this year. Cardale, man, that guy's going to be a trip.
Well, did they announce, is he the starter?
I mean, is he not going to start after all that?
I don't think so, but I mean, the whole talk this offseason, I mean, they had the third guy become a wide receiver, and then now it's down to JT Barrett and Cardale Jones, for those maybe who don't remember, put together one of the best three-game streaks of all time.
He
beat, the Big Ten Championship and then the two BCS playoff games. I mean, he just rolled over some really good teams and
out of nowhere.
People were thinking that he could have he could get drafted off those three games.
I know, and he was smart to come out and be like, "Hey, I'm not ready to to get drafted, even though he would have gotten drafted.
Right.
He wisely chose to stick around.
I'm just surprised none of those guys wanted to transfer.
Because of the how crowded it is?
Yeah, I mean, they could have gone to another major program. I mean, like, one of them could have gone to Alabama.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Alabama's been trying to figure out who their number one guy is.
Right.
And that's a fantastic team that just needs a solid number one.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, but maybe it's loyalty to Urban Meyer, loyalty to the Buckeyes, the university. I don't know.
I enjoyed watching him play last season, kind of out of just coming out of the sky like that. He's got that super
physically imposing.
He's like a truck, and yeah. He's got this huge arm. He reminds you of the college
Jamarcus Russell. Absolutely.
Just in the way he's built and the way he throws.
Totally.
Now, Jamarcus Russell's one of the biggest draft busts in the history of the league.
Yeah, purple drink train wreck.
Yeah. But I don't know. Cardale Jones seems like the kind of guy that you'd want to hit your wagon to here in college.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I don't think that he's – I don't know, just hearing like the limited amount of interviews that I did hear him, he sounds like he's got his head on his shoulders a little bit more than Jamarcus.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a pretty smart dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing against Louisiana State University, but I don't think it's as highly regarded as an academic institution as Ohio State is.
Yeah, right.
Not that they don't have
dummies,
but I mean...
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Urban Meyer wants a smart quarterback.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's the kind of guy that'll go out and get like a Tim Tebow.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I was in the city on Thursday night, went down for a show, and we were walking around, me and my buddy, in the Polk, which is a great little neighborhood. And I noticed, and I've never noticed before, there's a Michigan bar. And I'm forgetting the name of it offhand, but it's a straight-up Michigan Wolverine bar.
Wow.
And I wasn't aware that Michigan was playing the Thursday night opener. It's hard to keep track of this stuff now.
Right.
And when they're playing literally 7 days a week. But I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, Michigan lost the game.
They did.
Which I think bums out fans that thought Harbaugh would immediately roll in and everything would be different.
Absolutely.
They got a little ways to go.
They do. But yeah. I think there is going to be a market improvement, at least from their record at the end of the year. I believe they went 6-6 last year, maybe
uh-huh.
even 5-7.
Yeah.
And, you know, Utah's no joke.
Right.
Utah's a solid Pac-12 team.
A good team.
Yeah. And they were on the road. It was the first game.
They had real poor quarterback play.
Yeah. I mean, I expect, you know, Harbaugh to have them as Big Ten contenders, if not next year, the year after.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I did buy that Michigan hat in the offseason, did I not?
You did.
I did. I'm going to fly the colors, John.
You got to get that and some khaki pants.
I'm going to wear my Michigan hat and my Ohio State sweatshirt all Saturday, all winter long, and just wait and see who beats me up first.
Right.
Yeah.
Or who's just so confused.
Right. Right. Who will I take more flack from, the Michigan fans or the Ohio State fans? But yeah, I'm definitely ready for college football.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get your bearings at first with all the wacky non-conference games with lopsided scores and stuff. Like, I was watching the Cal game, and they were at one point up on Grambling, something like 67-0.
Right, so you want to get excited, but then you kind of like hold back because you're like, wait a second, it's Grambling.
Yeah, it's like this game really is like you're almost like you're playing a high school or something.
Yeah, there's no barometer whatsoever. In fact, I'd like to see in the future them, you know, get away from that and have to schedule all Division I opponents.
Yeah.
There's still some things to pick. I mean, you can still, you know, get some bottom of the barrel Big 12 teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But just because it's like, you know, Iowa State on their uniform doesn't mean they're going to be a great team. It still could be penciled in as a W.
Yeah.
Almost. You know, I think is the Pac-12 not going to a 9-game conference schedule this year, or did they last year? I think so, which
okay.
I would applaud them for that.
I mean, because when you see these kind of games add up after a while, the first few weeks, it's just like, it just feels pointless when you watch them.
Yeah, and then you have the top 25, too, that's just filled with a bunch of 6-0 teams, and you don't get to weed them out, really, until, like, week 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Because you don't really know who's good.
Right. I mean, I guess it's probably just a straight-up money issue.
I think so, too, especially with, like, these rankings. I mean, Arizona State came in at, like, 15
mm-hmm.
and got blown out by 20-plus points at Texas A&M.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I wonder how accurate these things are.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of those preseason rankings are, aside from a handful of, you know, known contenders, I mean, it's a little bit of a crapshoot.
Totally.
Same with college basketball. I mean,
Absolutely.
They're going to fluctuate greatly, especially the middle and bottom half of it.
Yeah.
And I guess that small schools like Grambling or whoever that get blown out 70-0 in week 1, 2, and 3, I mean, they get a bunch of extra money for playing D1 schools.
They do.
It just, it always seems strange and wacky to me that it's like it's like an accepted traditional part of the way the schedule works. Like,
yeah, it's like you're volunteering to get sacrificed.
Yeah. It's not even interesting to watch as a fan.
No.
That's why, you know, if I had known that Michigan was playing Utah on that Thursday, see, that's a good opening game right there.
Absolutely. There were some good ones. I mean, Minnesota gave TCU a run for their money. Mm-hmm. TCU was coming in ranked second.
Right.
After a really good season last year at 12-1. Got snubbed. They and Baylor, both from the Big 12, got snubbed out of the BCS playoffs. But that was a close one. South Carolina, North Carolina, was a good one. Michigan, Utah. Mm-hmm. So Thursday was a good day. You know, Friday, Saturday, a lot of those blowouts like you were talking about.
Right. So. Do you have any bold predictions for the BCS playoffs this year? You got anybody you're real hot on? Or
I don't really have anything bold necessarily. I think maybe the one thing that would maybe be a little outside of the box is I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan State beats Ohio State this year.
Okay.
And wins the Big Ten. I think the Spartans have a really good team, really great defense, good coach, and Mark D'Antonio. You know, but I don't know how bold that is. You know what I mean? It's college football, so I can't see any like dark horses. I can't see anybody that's just going to come out of the top 25 and make the playoffs. You know, maybe a bold prediction, I guess, would be maybe Alabama doesn't get in.
Oh, really? That would be something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like there's some teams like Tennessee seems, you know, supposedly is good again. And they've been down for a long time. They were a big time powerhouse for years.
Yeah.
You know,
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. And even before then, they had some really good teams going back. So maybe Tennessee is on the rise and, you know, the East can kind of knock off the West. It seems like the SEC West has been the powerful division with Auburn and Alabama representing them, not only in the conference championship games, but national championships as well.
Yeah, I caught some of that Auburn-Louisville game that Auburn wound up winning, but they kind of let Louisville back in.
They did. They were up 24-0.
I think they were up 24-0, and it wound up being like 31-17 or something.
Yeah.
There was one thing that was quirky, and this is just an aside, that the Louisville has a newer jersey, and it's not a bad jersey.
I kind of like it. I like the helmets.
But they put the old English font
for the names.
It's really small. You can't read it.
Yeah, you might as well have no names.
Yeah, I was like, that seems like a really odd thing to screw up on. Like,
right.
You can't read their names.
Because the rest of it looks real sharp.
Yeah, the rest of it looks pretty slick.
They've got the old English L on the one side, and then they've got that kind of computerized graphic of the Cardinal on the other side of the helmet, and it's white. It just looks clean and sharp. But I agree, I saw that lettering, and I was like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, not only is the font hard to read on its own, but it's like, it's like an 8-size font.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's not even big. It'd be Word. It's
Yeah, so I'm sure they'll probably fix that soon.
Yeah. I guess I haven't looked to see what Maryland is wearing this year.
They have some wacky uniforms.
But they're usually the leaders in the clubhouse for most absurd jersey year to year.
Depending on how you look at Oregon. I mean, Oregon has had, they don't wear the same uniform all 12 games.
No. They're more like some sort of like space age, like, you know, something that the astronauts would try and wear to like not catch on fire or something, like flame retardant silver jerseys. I know that Nike is in the Ducks corner, you know,
right?
But sometimes it's just like I don't even know, but it's a trend. It's part of the way it works.
I think honestly that's the way the NFL is going to be in like 20 years.
Well, they're already doing it.
Yeah,
the Niners have like black jerseys that they're going to wear this year, like black and red,
right? But I think you're going to see a bunch of different combinations from the helmet to the jersey to the pants.
Well, the NBA, and I think we talked about this maybe a year ago, we listened to Say Hey by the Way on KZFR. Do you remember when Adam Silver said that it wasn't out of the realm of possibility to have advertising on NBA jerseys?
Yeah, a la soccer uniforms. Yeah.
I was really depressed, and I hope that never happens.
I hope so too. I'm right there with you, but the problem is if it's even thrown out there, like, you know that it's kind of inevitable. It's like the 18-game schedule in the NFL. It's like we've been able to fight it off for a couple of years. Not we, but you know what I mean, the players' union. But you know these things are going to happen. I think it's going to get to the point where all major professional sports are going to have advertisements on them.
Good Lord, I hope not. It's embarrassing is what it is. I mean, I see friends that have a favorite club for soccer.
Maybe not baseball.
And they are rolling around wearing like a Toyota logo. Like a big one.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't wear that to bed.
You're right.
And not because, you know, I don't think your team's colors are cool, but there's a big, you know, Chevy logo on it.
Right.
It's like, I don't know. I don't understand that. It's like, can the money really be that great? You know, like when you name your stadium 3Com?
Or Louisville Qualcomm? Yum.
Yeah.
What is that, the KFC Yum Center?
Yum Center? The Network Associates Coliseum? I mean, the money's not that great. Right. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Well, the other thing, too, is, like, you know, especially with baseball, I mean, you see advertisements all the time within the – when you're watching a game on television, mm-hmm. and you're watching the pitcher, like, standing on the mound, like, waiting to get the, you know, the signs from the catcher, just, you know, that 10 seconds, you're sitting there looking, and there's a giant Budweiser sign right behind you,
mm-hmm.
or, I don't know, maybe cigarettes aren't in there, but you know what I mean?
Right. That'd be funny if they brought back cigarettes.
Right.
Marlboro right behind
home right
plate.
Behind Clayton Kershaw, you know yeah. what I mean? Or yeah. Madison Bumgarner would maybe be a little more appropriate. But
right.
Because he's kind of like the Marlboro Man of
he is
of Major
he's
League
a bit
Baseball.
Of the Marlboro Man.
He is.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, you already have that within the game
mm-hmm.
when you're watching any professional sports game. They've got advertisements smeared all over.
Yeah.
You know, like I went to the Grateful Dead reunion in Santa Clara, and it was the first time I'd set foot in the Niners' new place, and it's just Bud Light this and Toyota this, and it's just like, man. You know, I know it's always been like that.
Yeah.
But it just seems like it's – because it's a new stadium, they've really dialed it in.
Uh-huh.
Where the entire thing feels like one giant billboard.
Yeah. And then it's weird, though. Like, after a while, when you become familiar with a park or a stadium, you kind of like – you almost like naturally tune it out.
Right.
You know, like, I don't really see the Chevy car thing on the left field wall at AT&T. It's been there for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And where it used to be this absurd eyesore, like, I don't really see it anymore.
Right, or the giant know? Coke bottle.
I've always liked the Coke bottle because I'm a big fan of Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, after a while, like, you just kind of stop seeing it. It's weird. I mean, and then you think of advertising in sports. I mean, Wrigley Field, that's the oldest park in baseball
mm-hmm.
named after the gum.
Okay.
100 years ago.
Right.
It's always been there. It's just that it changes over time with the types of advertising you're seeing, and you start adding comms and
right.
quals in there, and things just get ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, Wrigley, it's like you don't...
That's a classic name.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds
like
you. You'd almost
Hines
think
Field
that it was just like
Pittsburgh.
A power... But yeah, and that's like a powerful family.
Uh-huh.
They just happen to name their company.
Name.
Yeah, it's a last name.
Yeah.
It's not Qualcomm. It's not, you know, Quicken Loans Arena.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, Quicken Loans Arena.
My name is Joseph Quicken Loans.
Yeah, I'm Mr.
Quicken
Mr.
Loans.
Quicken Loans. My name is Quicken Loans. Hello, Quicken. Where did that come from? Let's see. We should also mention that right now we have the U.S. Open in full swing.
Yes, Serena's trying to go for the calendar slam, her fifth straight major.
And that is just so... amazing. She's been in the game for how many years now?
I also say 20, maybe.
I swear to God, it feels like
20 years.
A professional tennis player for like 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not actually, but it's been a long time.
No, it's been like at least 15 because I think they said this is like her 61st major or something.
Right.
So that right there tells you 15 plus.
Right. And I think Venus has a couple years seniority on her in
mm-hmm.
age. So the Williams sisters have been...
They've collectively been dominating tennis for almost two
for
decades.
Almost 2 decades.
Yeah.
And I think we touched upon it a week ago or two. Tennis is so typically almost like an Olympic sport geared as a young person's game. And by that, I mean like, you know, people in their late teens, you know, early 20s are the number one.
Mm-hmm.
And to see somebody, especially on the women's side... dominated at this stage in their career.
That's great.
It's really amazing.
Yeah, because I remember when I was coming up, especially with, like, you know, Chrissy Everett of the world. I mean, that was a little before my time, but I remember Tracy Austin
uh-huh.
and girls like Jennifer Capriati.
Yeah.
And she was Jennifer Capriati was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 13 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, then, you know, these things, it's a lot of pressure for girls. You know what I mean? And like,
I mean, we're talking a lot of teenagers.
Teenagers.
Yeah, we're talking
like
young women.
Seventh, eighth graders,
yeah.
literally. And it's like, they get burnt out. And it's like, you know, I think it's good to see, you know, kind of a change. You know, I mean, look at the men's side. Roger Federer is 35 years old. And he's still
right. That's
arguably
true.
The most,
and
besides Djokovic, the most dominant guy.
Nadal is no spring chicken by
no,
you
he's
know,
not.
Tennis standards.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you have some, you know, who would be an example in the past of like, a boy in a man's game in tennis.
Maybe
it tends to be a little bit older
Courier,
on the men's side.
Maybe,
yeah, yeah. The young Swede.
Bjorn
Borg wasn't he?
Bjorn Borg was kind of a while back.
Yeah, it was a while back. He was on the younger side when he dominated, wasn't he?
He could have been.
Yeah, I'd have to go back.
That whole
check.
Era, like I love McEnroe, Connors, Borg, but
McEnroe was pretty darn young.
My knowledge of exactly when they came in and at what points they dominated is a little fuzzy.
Yeah, yeah. But it's pretty cool.
Michael Chang was pretty young.
Michael Chang was young, but I think he only ever won one slam, right? Didn't he just win the one?
I think he won either a U.S. Open or a French, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, just the one time. But yeah, it's cool seeing Serena do this.
And, little bummer, real quick. I'm sad for Eugenie Bouchard. She's my new favorite.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's great. She's a 21-year-old out of Canada who just kind of took tennis by storm last year. She made two semis and a final in the majors. And this year she had an accident in the women's dressing room and got a concussion. And she was unable to play her round of 16 match.
Oh.
And I feel like she would have been the best chance. She would have faced Serena potentially in the semifinal if Serena gets past her sister.
Yeah.
And so I'm just for Eugenie, obviously you're probably not listening, but get better, girl.
Yeah, no, she's cool. Fun player to watch.
Yeah.
With a lot of good young energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. Open is, I would say Wimbledon is kind of the top dog. The U.S. Open, though, it's a big deal.
It's probably my favorite just because it's on our turf.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I love Wimbledon, and the French is cool just because it's clay and it's unique.
Right.
And I like the Australian. I like them all because the crowd gets super into it, the Australian, and because of the 18-hour time difference, it actually is in my wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
It's on at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Say,
it's
like,
perfect.
We, you know, morons like us, we get home from the bar, and we got major tennis on.
Yeah.
That's like
it's
one
a
of
nice
my favorite
nightcap,
things.
For
it is
sure.
A nice nightcap. Go to sleep to the sounds of tennis. But just like that, it's 5:57. We're wrapping it up here on Say Hey. I want to let you know that Say Hey is, of course, made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico's newest restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings. They are now open, and they feature 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs, with this big thing in the middle that's shaped like the television screen in Dallas. It's pretty
really?
Wild. Yeah,
cool.
It's pretty wild.
I got to get in there.
Nonstop sports, wings, and more at 801 East Avenue, open every day 11 a.m. till midnight. And then we got airport storage, providing safe and secure drive-up ground-level self-storage units in a variety of sizes. Airport storage also offers on-site management, security cameras, and an automatic gate with extended hours located off Cohasset Road across from the Chico Airport. For more information, visit airportstorage.com by calling 893-4279. And Noobs, in the coming week, anything in particular you're looking forward to on the sporting horizon?
Well, obviously, you know, we're going to have the semis and the finals, or the last few rounds, I should say, of the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be really good. I'm not sure what happened to Murray today. He was in a fight, but potentially we're going to get Stan Wawrinka, Roger Federer, Andy Murray, mm-hmm. Novak Djokovic, all, you know, in the later rounds. So that should be good. Some real heavy hitters. I hate to say it, real quick blurb, I am looking forward to the Patriots game on Thursday.
I don't blame you.
You know?
I mean, we're not covering it, but like we said, we can't go as far as a claim that we're not going to watch.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend just, like I'm not going to watch.
Yeah, we're just choosing not to include it.
So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to week two of college football.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some more blowouts, but I haven't checked the schedule, but I'm sure that there's probably some interconference matchups. There's always a couple big... And, you know, early in the year, like last weekend, we had Alabama versus Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, some teams do schedule some good out-of-conference games. So, yeah, tennis and football. And, we got 4 weeks of baseball starting today. 4 weeks left. And so
there's still stuff to be decided,
too. The wild card in the AL is up for grabs. The positioning in the Central and the NL is still up for grabs.
Yep,
Cubs are super
hot. There's still a division. Still two divisions, really, in the
AL. Yeah, the Nationals are not out of it.
The Nationals are not out of it.
In the NL, excuse me.
Yep. Houston and Texas are still squaring off a bit. The Yankees are only, two games out on Toronto.
I think it was a game and a half maybe going into today.
Yeah.
And Texas was three back of Houston, but they've got seven left with the Astros.
Yep.
So
it's
going to be good.
There's a lot to play out still. Yeah. So we'll look forward. Yep.
Yeah, and if you're a Giants fan too, you know, it's still kind of interesting because they're going to be calling up younger guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's the last couple of weeks when you're not a contender, it's kind of cool because it's a little bit of a look towards the future.
Yeah, I just want to see the healthy Joe Panic. He's finally back.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Andrew Susak's season is now over.
Mm-hmm.
Nori Aoki's season is now over with concussions.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and they're probably gonna shelve Pence for the rest of the year.
They should.
I'm sure.
Don't mess with that oblique. Just get out of Dodge without anything else serious.
Come back in 16 healthy, and let's make another run.
Exactly. All right, Noobs. Good stuff. Stick around. Peace Talks Radio is coming up in just a moment here. Noobs, we'll see you next week.
All right.
This is Peace Talks Radio, the series on peacemaking and nonviolent conflict resolution. On our program, we spotlight the art and